RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo wants his ministries to speed up transportation projects. Japanese investor to build seat repair facility in Indonesia. Indonesia it marks over $300 million for Syariah Infrastructure Bank. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has ordered his ministry to accelerate the development of infrastructure projects, particularly ones in the transportation sector. He said there are many projects that have taken a long preparation period without starting. When opening a closed meeting at the president's office yesterday, President Joko Widodo said that the Mass Rapid Transit MRT is actually a 26-year-old project. The project planning took such a long time that it had only just begun late last year. He demanded simplification in the project planning and procurement process. He reminded his ministry to be wise in using foreign loans and avoid authority overlaps in executing projects. The president had said that the eastern part of Indonesia will be prioritized for infrastructure development. A Japanese seat building company, Tsuneishi Seat Building, plans to invest $40 million in a seat repair project in Indonesia, Chief of Capital Investment Coordinating Board Frankie Sibarani said. Tsuneishi made the commitment at a meeting at Fukuyama with Frankie Sibarani when the latter visited Japan last Monday. He said the Japanese company has long indicated interest in expanding operation to Indonesia. He added he has invited the company leaders to visit Indonesia to determine the location for the project. PKPN representative office in Tokyo will facilitate the company in the process of licensing. Chairman and President of Tsuneishi Holding, Yasuharu Fujimi, said his company plans the investment in two phases. The phase, as said, the first phase, the company would build seat repair facility, and in the second phase, the company would build seat building facility. Yasuharu said, Tsuneishi Seat Building is the seventh largest seat building industry in Japan. It has shipyard in Cebu in the Philippines and Susan, China, and in Paraguay. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the government is ready to establish an infrastructure bank with Islamic principles or a Syariah Infrastructure Bank. With the government of Turkey and the Islamic Development IDB, Indonesia will found the Islam Investment Infrastructure Bank. The finance minister has prepared an equity participation in the establishment of Syariah Infrastructure Bank. The decision is in line with the Indonesian target becoming the axis of global Islamic financial industry and the government's plan to push for higher infrastructure financing. Yesterday, the Financial Service Authority OJK Board of Commission's chairman, Mulyaman Hadda, said Indonesia has the opportunity to lead the Islamic Infrastructure Investment Bank, which will be established by the Islamic Development. Indonesia is likely to be a strong candidate as a Muslim country with the largest population in the world. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo said the current inflation rate increasing to 6.79% in April 2015 from 6.39% in the first quarter of this year was attributable to the fuel price hike in March 2015. Governor Agus said in Jakarta on Wednesday that despite being under control, the inflation rate in Indonesia is still highest among those in Southeast Asian countries. He said he was hopeful that the target to contain the inflation rate at 4% plus or minus 1% would be achieved through solid coordination with the government. Speaking at the National Coordinating Meeting of the Regional Inflation Control Team, Governor Agus praised the government's reforming its fuel subsidy policy. He added that the fiscal space created by the policy could be utilized to build infrastructure that would improve competitiveness. Therefore, the government would be able to control tariffs, shorten distribution chain, and assist the deprived. Meanwhile, Bank Indonesia's Governor Agus Martoyo said on Wednesday that it was expected the local administration would set aside certain amount in their 2016 regional budget for market operation and support to maintain price stability, especially regarding prime commodities. He also said, as quoted by Antara News Agency in his remark at the opening of the 6th Regional Inflation Control Team National Coordination Meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday, that local administration may be the regional budget 2016, they can allocate the budget for market operations so the price stability can be realized and people can avoid suffering due to continuous increases in the commodity prices. He added that several obstacles in the real sector had caused price instability in Indonesia, which eventually led to high inflation. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro stated that there are three main focuses that would be taken by Indonesian government to boost its economic growth. According to Central Bureau of Statistics data, Indonesian economic growth in the first quarter of this year reached 4.7%. Minister Bambang said at the discussion entitled Indonesian Economic Outlook in Jakarta on Tuesday.
From fiscal point of view, the government will focus on three priorities in short and medium terms, namely macroeconomic stability, supportive budget structure, and real sector and investment support. Macroeconomic stability is very critical to ensure sustainable yet equitable economic growth. One primary concern that Indonesia currently still faces is the ongoing current account deficit.
Minister Bambang added, as a relatively more open economy, Indonesia is not immune from global economic challenges. He added the Indonesian government is optimistic to keep its current account deficit while at the same time the government is facing the decline of commodities and global fuel prices. He added the government has also put greater effort in addressing deficit in both income and service account as well as trade balance. As an example, he said that the government has issued fiscal incentive for industry for industries that produce intermediate goods, tax incentive for companies that reinvested in their dividend on profit and strengthened reinsurance industry as well as local shipping industry. The government also will focus on creating a larger fiscal space through improvement of state budget structure. The last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo announced in Papua on May 10, 2015, the open access for foreign journalists in Papua, which previously was closed for security reasons which threatened the foreign journalist safety. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Tejo Edi Purdijatno, after attending the National Seminar on Opportunities, Challenges and Obstacles on the opening of Papua for foreign journalists to RRI at Wisma Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that President Joko Widodo expected positive news about Papua that has been considered by foreign journalists full of complete human rights violations and underdeveloped region.
Mr. President expects us to build Papua, reduce the security approach, focus on welfare and development. We open Papua for information so no more negative news about Papua. So the foreign journalists will see that Papua is not as imagined, underdeveloped, poor, which always portrayed as mountain people who still use the koteka. But the development of Papua is never reported. Therefore, the president wishes to open Papua to the world. So the stigma that Papua is a conflict area with human rights violations and underdeveloped could be erased by the opening of Papua.
According to Minister Tejo Edi, by allowing the foreign journalists to cover Papua, they are expected to make impartial news such as development. He also emphasized that although foreign journalists are allowed to cover in Papua, they are still required to make a journalist visa and always accompanied by the monitoring team to protect their safety. The status of Papua and West Papua provinces as part of the Republic of Indonesia is undisputable, referred to the UN General Assembly Resolution number 2504 on November 19, 1969. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Humanitarian Tragedy in Myanmar. Listener, Malaysian police recently discovered 139 graves and 28 camps of human smuggling in a remote area in the northern region of Thailand, bordering Malaysia. Earlier this month, Thai police also found a camp for people smuggling and dozens of graves allegedly to have the bodies of migrants from Myanmar or Bangladesh in a forest area not far from the Malaysian border. In recent years, there has been humanitarian tragedy in Myanmar. Thousands of Rohingya people are discriminated and chose to flee from their places of origin in Myanmar. Their fate is really tragic because they have been oppressed and ostracized in the majority Buddhist country. The Muslim majority ethnic Rohingya people prefer to die in other countries rather than persist in the country ruled by the military junta. What makes them want to do that? This is because of the continuing problems that have been happening from year to year with the majority Myanmarese people. Their leaving their country was also prompted by a Buddhist monk who became the mastermind behind the tragedy happening to the Rohingya. His name is Ashin Wiratu. He has been spreading hatred in the Myanmar society. Ashin instills the fear in the Buddhist community in Myanmar that someday the minority Muslim groups will dominate the country formerly known as Burma. The monk from the Mandalay region was born in 1968. He dropped out of school at the age of 14. After that, he decided to become a monk. Ashin Wiratu's name emerged after he was involved in the anti-Muslim extremist group 969 in 2001. Due to its action, in 2003, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison. However, in 2010, he was released along with other political prisoners. Until now, it is estimated that there have been thousands of ethnic Rohingya who have died as victims of violence in their country, as well as becoming victims of human smugglers who neglected them in the forests of the Malaysian-Thailand border and at sea. Some countries, especially ASEAN countries, have several times warned the government of Myanmar to resolve the issue. Some even blame the country's government because of its inaction and failure to respond to the ongoing humanitarian tragedy. Recently, there was a plan to hold a meeting to discuss the Rohingya refugees, but as before, the government of Myanmar refuses to accept blame for the cases related to Rohingya migrants. They even refused to attend the summit in Thailand that will discuss the issue, though the meeting, which will take place at the end of this month, is aimed at easing the state of emergency that occurred after thousands of Rohingya refugees were stranded at the sea. Rejecting the accusations related to the Rohingya, Myanmar, on the other hand, blamed neighboring countries regarding the crisis. According to the head office of the president of Myanmar, Major Zak Thai, pushing back refugees at sea is an inhuman act. This opinion is certainly something that cannot be accepted because obviously Rohingyas left Myanmar because they cannot live there peacefully. It requires tougher action to resolve the humanitarian tragedy in Myanmar. Economic sanctions could be an option. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from historical event on May 27th to 28th, 1905, Tsushima battle between Japan and Russia. The Battle of Tsushima, commonly known as the Sea of Japan Naval Battle in Japan, and the Battle of Tsushima Strait was a major naval battle fought between Russia and Japan during the Russian-Japanese War. It was naval history's only decisive sea battle fought by modern steel battleship fleets, and the first naval battle in which wireless telegraphy or radio played a critically important role. It has been characterized as the dying echo of the old era, for the last time in the history of naval warfare ships of the line of a beaten fleet surrounded on the high seas. It was fought on May 27 to 28, 1905, in the Tsushima Strait between Korea and southern Japan. In this battle, the Japanese fleet under Admiral Togo Heihachiro destroyed two-thirds of the Russian fleet under Admiral Zinoviy Rozhestvensky, which had traveled over 18,000 nautical miles or 33,000 kilometers to reach the Far East. The destruction of the Russian Navy caused a bitter reaction from the Russian public, which induced a peace treaty in September 1905 without any further battles. Japan's victory over Russia has broad implications in the international world. This victory not only affected the declining prestige of Russia in international eyes at the time, but is also listed as a history of its own. This is the first time for centuries an Asian power can defeat a European power. On May 27, 1964, Jawaharlal Nehru died. Jawaharlal Nehru was an Indian nationalist leader and also the first Prime Minister of India after the country declared its independence in 1947. Nehru had primary education to higher education in the United Kingdom. Jawaharlal Nehru was returned to his hometown in India in 1912 to apply the knowledge he has gained during law school in the United Kingdom. His legal career did not earn him, which what he was looking for, so that Nehru decided to move in politics in 1919 by joining the Congress. His career in Congress then uphill, and eventually, he was elected as president of the Congress in 1928. Nehru played an important role in the success of India's independence negotiations. He became Prime Minister of India until his death in 1964. In addition to be a Prime Minister, Nehru also served as Secretary of State of India and must be directly confronted with the problem of Kashmir, which is ongoing until nowadays. Nehru died on May 27, 1964, after his health deteriorated during war and disputing territory against China. The last event on May 27, 2006, 5.9 Richter scale earthquake hit Yogyakarta. An earthquake measuring 5.9 on the Richter scale occurred on May 27, 2006 at 5:53 p.m. West Indonesia time, rocked the southern side of the island of Java. The quake was centered in the Indian Ocean, about 33 kilometers south of Bantul, Yogyakarta. The quake, which lasted for approximately 52 seconds, was followed by several earthquakes with a smaller scale. Official information from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources said that the epicenter was located at coordinates 8,007 degrees south latitude to 110,286 degrees east longitude, with a depth of 17.1 kilometers. The earthquake was directly impact toward Yogyakarta and Central Java. In Yogyakarta, the disaster had an impact on the four districts, Bantul, Gunung Kidul, Kulon Progo, Sleman, and Yogyakarta municipality. The earthquake killed more than 5,700 people, injured tens of thousands of people, and destroying hundreds of thousands of homes. Because it was occurred relatively early days, the earthquake made many people trapped in the houses, especially children and the elderly. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Welcome to Voy Green. Today's edition will talk about Indonesian regions commemorate the World Turtle Day. May 23rd is commemorated annually as the World Turtle Day. The commemoration of the day is aimed to draw the public's attention to the existence of the turtles, as well as encouraging people to save endangered species. Various activities were usually done to commemorate it. In Indonesia, some regions hold the release of hatchlings, or little turtle, to celebrate the World Turtle Day. Turtle community in Bengkulu released 138 hatchlings in Airitam Beach, Mukomuko Regency, on Monday. As quoted from AntaraNews.com, Head Committee of the World Turtle Day from Bengkulu Turtle Community, Fitri Wulandari in Bengkulu, said the release of hatchlings to their habitats as supporting effort to preserve the protected animals. The hatchlings are the result of breeding done by the local people in Air Hitam village, which is located close to Air Hitam Natural Park. Community members and local community groups, according to Fitri, have actively monitored and secured the eggs of sea turtles in the beach. The society, through the Organization of Youth Groups of Nature Lovers and Air Hitam Rural Environment, have routinely securing nesting turtles on the coast of the region. On the last few years, Fitri Wulandari, together with community group, supervise and protect the turtles that stranded on the beach to lay eggs. Many kinds of threat to the turtles that lay their eggs in the waters include the theft by irresponsible parties, as well as the presence of predators such as lizard. Bengkulu Turtle Community is a group formed by nature lover students of the University of Bengkulu, which focus on the conservation of sea turtles in the waters of Bengkulu. Meanwhile, coordinator of the turtle community in Bengkulu, Saputra, said there are three species of turtles that lay their eggs along the coast of Bengkulu, such as crag turtle, hawksbill, and green turtle. The length of the coast of Bengkulu reached 525 kilometers, where almost the entire region became the landing site to lay eggs. However, coastal damage due to various exploitative activities caused a number of coastal are no longer accommodated by the turtles to lay their eggs. The release of hatchlings was also performed in South Sulawesi, coincide with the World Turtle Day on Saturday. A total of 23 hatchlings have been released in Changke Island, Pakajene Regency, and Pangkep Islands, South Sulawesi. Police Chief of Pangkep, Adjutant Commissioner Hidayat, said the World Turtle Day event in Pangkep, coupled with the release of turtle that has been rehabilitated from illness. Besides a series of other events, it was also the signing of the Declaration of Cessation of Destructive Fishing in Chamba Chambang Island. Hidayat said that this is an initial effort done by Resort Police of Pangkep in gaining legitimacy of all parties during 30 days of implementing approach against bad habits of the fishermen who do not care about the environment. On the same occasion, the region of Pangkep, Samsudin Hamid Batara, invites all levels of society and other participants to take part in the commemoration in order to understand how the importance of keeping marine animals. Listener, that was today's Voy Green.
Listener, here are the headlines from several national newspapers published today, May 27. I'm Dalat Pani. We start with the headlines of Media Indonesia newspaper. Media Indonesia writes, Ministry of Youth and Sports will revise the decree on the bridging of the Indonesian Football Association, PSSI. The Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports begins to soften in a view against the Indonesian Football Association, PSSI. It will revise the decree on the bridging of the parent organization of the national football. According to Deputy Division 5, Harmonization and Partnership of Ministry of Youth and Sports, Gatot Dewabroto,
The legal team of the Ministry of Youth and Sports is preparing a revised points of the degree issued on April 17. Later, the main task of the transition team formed by the Minister of Youth and Sports, Imam Narawi, is reduced. The transition team was formed to take over the duties and functions of the PSSI. However, with the revision, it will only act as a watchdog on the performance of the Indonesian Football Association. Gatot Dewa Broto did not say when the revision would be decided. Kompas newspaper in its headlines writes the promotion of the archipelago will be aggressive. The Ministry of Tourism promised to launch an aggressive tourism promotion starting from June 2015. The president shows a commitment to significantly increase the budget promotion. It becomes an early step in order to increase the role of tourism in the national economy. The government's promise was conveyed by Coordinating Minister of Maritime Indroyono Susilo and Tourism Minister Arif Yahya at the first session of the National Seminar on Tourism in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Tuesday. In his speech, Indroyono hopes that tourism becomes the leading sectors that can provide a greater contribution to the national economy, one of them in terms of foreign exchange. During this time, tourism becomes the fifth larger contribution of foreign exchange after oil and gas, palm oil, coal and natural rubber. According to Indroyono, the space for tourism to grow is very big because its potential is enormous but has not woke up. Meanwhile, Republika newspaper writes, there is no plastic rice. After more than a week of the funding of plastic rice in a number of areas, the government finally speaks up. Indonesian police chief Badrodin Haiti announces the results of the test of the alleged plastic rice samples carried out in a number of laboratories. Among them are the forensic laboratory of the Indonesian police headquarters, National Agency of Drug and Food, the Ministry of Commerce, and the Ministry of Agriculture. According to Badrodin, the results of the laboratory tests show negative results. These lab results are different from the results of the tests carried out by PT Sukofindo, which showed that the rice contains positive elements of plastic. Badrodin said that he is hesitant because there are two versions of the results of the tests. The Food and Drug Administration finally asked the rest of the sample used by PT Sukofindo to redo the test. Once checked, the Food and Drug Administration's results were negative. He explained that there are two possibilities that caused the difference. First, there are differences in the interpretation of the results of analysis between PT Sukofindo and Food and Drug Administration. The results of the PT Sukofindo laboratory is allegedly without the use of new compounds from plastic materials which allegedly contain in the sample. The second possibility, the tool used by PT Sukofindo in testing, had been exposed to plastic. Business Indonesia writes the $11 billion loan is ready to be withdrawn. The Indonesian government will draw the loan worth $11 billion from the World Bank starting next year to replace the financing of the state budget from the state bonds in the form of dollars, which was more costly. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro disclosed that the loan can be drawn for 3 to 4 years, with the consideration of the interest is less than the state bonds. When a loan from the World Bank can be withdrawn, he added, the portion of the financing of the government bonds in rupiah will be reduced in accordance with the budget deficit targets. Well, listener, that was today's newspaper headlines.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Here is a brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has ordered his ministries to accelerate the development of infrastructure projects, particularly ones in the transportation sector. A Japanese shipbuilding company, Tsunesi Shipbuilding, plans to invest $40 million in a ship repair project in Indonesia. Chief of the Capital Investment Coordinating Board, BKPN, Frankie Subrani, said. Today, she made the commitment at the meeting in Fukuyama with the Frankie Shibarani when the latter visited Japan last Monday. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said the government is ready to establish an infrastructure bank with Islamic principle or Sharia infrastructure bank. With the government of Turkey and the Islamic Development IDB, Indonesia will fund the Islamic Investment Infrastructure Bank. Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that the current inflation rate increasing to 6.79% in April 2015 from 6.39% in the first quarter of this year was attributable to the fuel price hike in March 2015. Meanwhile, Bank Indonesian Governor Agus Martowardoyo said on Wednesday that he was expected the local administrations would set aside a certain amount in their 2016 regional budgets for market operations in the fog to maintain price stability, especially regarding prime commodities. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro stated that there are three main focuses that would be taken by Indonesian government to boost its economic growth. According to Central Bureau of Statistics data, Indonesia economic growth in the first quarter of this year reached 4.7%. Mr. Bambang said a discussion entitled Indonesian Economic Outlook in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo announced in Papua on May 10, 2015, the open access for foreign journalists in Papua, which previously was closed for security reasons, which threatened the foreign journalists' safety. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security First Minister Tejo Edi Purdijatno, after attending the National Seminar on Opportunities, Challenges and Obstacles on the opening of Papua for foreign journalists to RRI at Wisma Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that President Joko Widodo expected positive news about Papua that has been considered by foreign journalists as a full of complete human rights violation and underdeveloped region. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Ania Sana. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Bersirih or Menginang tradition or Chewing Beetle tradition, so stay tuned. Listener, Indonesian people, especially Malayan and Kalimantan people, have a unique habit. Most of them eat betel leaves and areca in their daily life. The habit known as menginang is done just for enjoyment. They believe that menginang or eating betel leaves and areca is able to make their teeth strong, to cure wound in the mouth, to eliminate bad breath, stop bleeding gums, and also as mouthwash. Now, betel leaves and areca have functioned in the social order and values of the local community. For example, materials of betel leaves and areca are an honor dish for guests and as a binder in the engagement before marriage. These materials are also used as offering in traditional ceremony. Listener, eating betel leaves and areca have been a cultural legacy in the past until now. The tradition also exists in Southeast Asia, but based on linguistic evidence, it might come from Indonesia. A famous adventurer, Marco Polo, wrote in his note in the 13th century that Indian ate a wad of tobacco, while previous adventurer Ibnu Battuta and Vasco da Gama revealed that East people had a habit to eat betel leaves and areca. Listener, people mostly enjoy eating betel leaves along with areca nut, gambir, cloves, lime, and tobacco. These materials have certain meaning in their lives, such as betel leaves symbolize humility and praise others because the betel trees have to live without damaging the rest. Areca symbolizes good offspring, as seen from the towering tree, and there is a hope to get a good and successful offspring. Then, lime symbolizes good descent. Areca, which has a little bit bitter taste, symbolizes courage, while tobacco symbolizes brave heart and willing to sacrifice for others. Listener, in a traditional and religious ceremony, menginang or eating betel leaves is used as offering and to honor respected guests. When the offering is served, betel leaves and other materials are put on tepak sirih. On the betel tray, there is chombol or cembul, a container which is used to store sirih pinang materials. There are two parts inside the betel tray, the top and bottom part. In the top part, there are four chombols with certain compositions, namely areca nut, gambir, lime, and tobacco. On the bottom, there are cloves and betel leaves. Sometimes betel leaves are not placed on tepak sirih, but in a container called bekas sirih. This arrangement looks more beautiful. The bitter leaves are well arranged to refer the sequence when eating bitter leaves. The bitter leaves which are arranged are folded and inserted between one another and put together the stalk, arranged as many as 5 or 6 leaves in a row. The bitter leaves must be folded so that the stalks are not seen. The bitter stalk which is seen is considered impolite and disrespectful for the guests. The pak sirih which has been completed is decorated with flower and songket. Songket is a fabric that belongs to the brocade family of textiles of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today featuring Bersirih Tradition. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Meminjam Kamus, or in English means borrowing dictionary. So stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to a vocabulary and expression that relate to our today's topic. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Meminjam, which means to borrow. Kamus, which means dictionary. Membawa, which means to bring. Bahasa Jerman, Indonesia, which means German, Indonesian. Pelajaran Bahasa Jerman, which means German subject. Pinjam, which means to borrow. Boleh, which means can. Sesi keberapa, which means which session. Sesi kelima, which means 5th session. Istirahat, which means to have a break. Sesi pertama, which means first session. Kalau begitu, which means so. Mari ke kelasku, which means let's go to my classroom. Now we give you an example of a conversation between Nani or A and Lani or B. They are at school. I will say each sentence twice and you can repeat after me. A. Lani, apakah kamu membawa kamus bahasa Jerman Indonesia? Lani, apakah kamu membawa kamus bahasa Jerman Indonesia? Which means, Lani, do you bring German Indonesian dictionary? B. Ya, kenapa? Which means, yes, why? A. Apakah boleh aku pinjam? Which means, may I borrow it? Aku ada pelajaran bahasa Jerman hari ini. Which means, I have German class today. B. Boleh? Kapan? Boleh? Kapan? Which means, sure. When? A. Di sesi kelima sehabis istirahat. Di sesi kelima sehabis istirahat. Which means, in the fifth session after the break. Kalau kamu, di sesi keberapa pelajaran bahasa Jerman hari ini? Kalau kamu, di sesi keberapa pelajaran bahasa Jerman hari ini? Which means, and you, in which session do you have German class today? B. Aku sudah di sesi pertama. Aku sudah di sesi pertama. Which means, I have already in the first session. A. Kalau begitu, aku boleh pinjam ya. Kalau begitu, aku boleh pinjam ya. Which means, so, I'll borrow it, okay? B. Boleh, mari ke kelasku. Boleh, mari ke kelasku. Which means, okay, let's go to my classroom. A. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Which means, thanks. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner. a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today we'll introduce you a singer, Wizzy, and a duo group, Wonder Woman. Now let's take a look, a glimpse of Wizzy. Her original name, Viliana Saraswati, was a runner-up of the Mamma Mia singing contest in 2008, held by an Indonesian private television station, Indosiar. Since at that time, Wizzy was getting more seriously developing her talent in singing and moved from her hometown Surabaya to Jakarta. In mid-2010, Wizzy released her single entitled Tak Kusesali, composed by Fahim Gift. Well, listener, now let's enjoy the song Tak Kusesali by Wizzy.
Kau kira itu mudah, untuk melepaskan bayanganmu, tapi apa yang terjadi padaku? Kau buat ku menangis.
Listener, Wizi was born in Surabaya, East Java on June 14, 1994. Since she was 9 years old, Wizi has followed a number of singing festivals in Surabaya. Since at that time, she got hundreds of trophies. Another achievement was become the best vocalist at the band festival among Indonesian music schools. Besides, Wizi also played on advertisement of various commercial products. She also played in some TV musical drama such as Semua Sayang Anissa, produced by Indosiar, and You and Me of Global TV. While she hosted a TV program Click at AnTV, jointly with Melanie Ricardo and Kemal. In early 2011, Wizi joined in a compilation album on Peace on Earth, managed by an Indonesian musician, Badai Krispati. Wizi dedicated a song Air Mata Terakhir, composed by Badai. The Peace on Earth album was a humanitarian album which consists of 12 songs. The album was the realization of concern toward disasters that occurred in Indonesia. Especially for the song Air Mata Terakhir, it tells about tears of people of entire Indonesia and fully hope there will be no other disasters hampering the country. The listener, here is the song Air Mata Terakhir by Wizi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.